You're listening to the Westchester Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ.
Good morning, everyone. You can all hear me all right? Oh, that's perfect. That is perfect. All right. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at the book of Malachi together. I know last week we were talking about appreciating all of the diversity of God's creation, and so hopefully we will be able to tie both of those together today. Amen? Right? Okay. Because one of the things that I spoke about 2 weeks ago was talk about how change on a large scale starts on a small scale, and how it starts with you as an individual deciding, okay, you know what? Now is the time for me to grow. Now is the time for me to mature in my walk with God. And so that's what we're going to focus on today is you, each of us as individuals, maturing in our walk with God. And so there's two areas that I want us to focus on. One is going to be growth. And the second, if we get to it or not, is going to be resolving conflicts. So I'm not sure if we'll get there. Hopefully we will, but there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to cover. And so we are going to be, if you could turn to Hebrews chapter 5, we are going to start in there, go a little bit into chapter 6, and like I said, if we have time, we'll head over to 1 Corinthians. So it says, starting in verse 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And now this kind of takes a bit of a different turn. He's talking about that, and here he goes into, he says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not again laying the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. Amen. So up to this point in the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews has really, he's been talking about how great Jesus is, which is always a fun topic to talk about, right? How great Jesus is. He is greater than the angels. That's chapter 1 is what the Hebrew author talks about. And then he talks about how Jesus is greater than Moses, how he's greater than the law, how Jesus is a great example to us, how he's relatable and yet remained righteous in all of the things. It talks about how Jesus never sinned all the time that he was on earth. And then in chapter 5, he talks about how Jesus is the great high priest. And I remember when I first read this verse as a young Christian, I remember being extremely confused about that whole thing about Melchizedek and who Melchizedek is. And if you don't know and you haven't studied it, that's okay. That's not what we're going to be focusing on today. That's not what we are going to talk about. But it is a very awesome topic because it kind of shows how Jesus fits into the big picture of the Bible. But then the author of Hebrews goes on to say, even though I want to talk to you about that, there's some groundwork, a foundation that we need to make sure is strong if we're going to get there, if we're even going to understand what he's talking about. The greatness of Jesus, the greatness of God, you will not understand that unless there's a few key things that are in place. And so he calls them to consider a few things. And he calls them to think about, well, at one point, you had full of zeal, you had fervor for the Lord. And then over time, you started to become lazy. There's a waning in the conviction that you had at first, is what he's saying to this, to the author of Hebrews. And there, even though they at one point they were growing hard, they were working hard to grow and mature, and they were going after change, they became content with where they were at. And they did not progress further. And you see, he'd say, look, the only way that someone can truly understand Jesus is not just by head knowledge, but with your head and heart being in alignment. With your actions being in alignment with that too. You know, this past, it might have been last 2 weeks ago, or Gordon and I, we sat down with a guy and we were talking about, okay, how do you know when you're ready to make the decision to follow Jesus? And he came and he asked these great, deep, biblical questions of us, and they were awesome questions. And so we were going back and forth. We answered his questions to the best of our ability. And then after that, you know, I said, okay, I think all this is great, but I want you to think about this. Do you think, like, if you know, like, let's say you're single or you're dating, right? How do you know when you're ready to take the relationship to the next level? Is it a list of facts? Well, I know every little detail and fact about them. Therefore, we should get married. Is that how that works? No, Kevin pointed out beautifully here. He said, no, that just makes you a stalker. That's all it means. But really, what makes someone want to go to the next level, what makes a relationship want to mature, is the quality of the relationship, right? And so something has gone wrong where the quality of the relationship has not, maybe they're disconnected, maybe they're focused on other things, maybe they're not putting in the effort into their relationship, because you know how easy it is once you become comfortable with someone to not put effort into the relationship, to not move forward and to progress. And so he calls them to this purposeful action, right? In verse 14, he uses the word train. Train is not something that happens by accident. It's something that you consciously are choosing to do. Okay, I am training myself in this area. And so he throws it back and he tries to pull us back to, or tries to pull them back to the basics, the foundation. Now, if you are visiting with us, there are some things that we expect anyone who's going to be a member here, right, to have studied out or learned, or that we want them to have a conviction about, because the Bible has a conviction about them. So if you are a member of our congregation or our church, what are some of maybe these foundational things that we make sure that we want to talk about, that we're all on the same page about? You guys can actually answer. Okay, the Word of God, that the Bible is the Word of God, absolutely. Okay, that Jesus is going to be Lord, discipleship, that what the Bible teaches on baptism, we want to make sure that we have a biblical foundation in that. And what's incredible is that the author of Hebrews, he throws out a little beautiful list of his own, right? He throws out there at the, and a little bit of it is in chapter 5, but he talks about how, where is it? Beautiful. laying the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying out of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So what does that sound like? Well, in chapter 5, verse 12, he talks about the importance of the Word of God. In 5:14, he talks about how through constant use, you've trained yourself. What does that sound like? Discipleship. Through constantly putting the Word into practice. That's what it means to follow Jesus, to be a disciple. 6:1, he's talking about repentance, sin and repentance. And then in 2, he talks about baptism, the cross, and that ultimately people will be judged for their actions, right? And that should be something that is a present reality in believers, not just in their own lives, but it should give us urgency as we think about the world around us. And it should call us to that. And I know if sometimes, right, if you've been a Christian for a long time, it's easy to wane in your conviction in some of these areas. And that you need to go back. You know, sometimes you start to question things like, well, is what we learned, is what we saw initially about a topic like baptism really what the Bible says about it? And I would love to another week to go in full in-depth. I did this as a part of my master's, did this very in-depth study of God's covenants between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I look forward to being able to share that with you and hopefully to inspire you with that and how God fits, how the whole Bible fits together just with that concept of covenant. But I know there are other times in my walk where I see the zeal and the conviction that I had when I first became a Christian. And then I look at where I am right now. And I see, well, yeah, I may know more, but have I lost that same passion that I had at first? You know, there are times where I feel like, man, I wish somebody would just sit down and just re-go through the basics with me, right? We all go through periods of time, and, you know, thankfully what I realized is, oh, wait, I can do that. It's called when I sit down and I'm reading the Word of God on my own, and when I am talking to people in my life about the things that are going on. I can say, hey, so this is what's happening. And other people can look at the way that I'm living and say, so TJ, I don't know if you're seeing what's happening right now, but it looks like you're just phoning it in. It looks like you're not really here. You know, we need to think about that original conviction we had about discipleship. What are those some of those scriptures? Oh, like, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself and carry his cross daily. So there's sacrifice. That should be a moment for us to think about, well, am I still sacrificing for God, for the kingdom of God? You know, do I still prioritize Jesus above my own desires even? What I want? I know that might be, if you're here for the first time, that might sound crazy to you. That might sound foreign to you. But I tell you, that is a concept that you do not understand until you live it. It doesn't make sense until you see how God blesses your sacrifice, how God blesses that heart. And later on in Hebrews chapter 6, he even talks about that, how God will not forget your hard work and the good things that you have done. But I think overall, what he's talking about is that they've been Christians for a while, and yet they should be teachers, yet they're not. They still have to go back to the basics. And so where are you? You know, it's concerning to me that there are people who can be Christian, who are Christians for, and I'm going to pick an arbitrary number here, for more than 5 years, but you still can't talk to someone else about the elementary foundational things of Christian belief. That should be concerning. Right? I know that when you're starting off and you're just beginning, amen, right? You're figuring out, you're learning him. And I'm not saying that to shame you. I'm saying that to say, if that is you, then we want to help. We want everyone to be able to share about Jesus in a way that is clear, that is passionate, that is powerful. And you probably know far more than you think you do. You do. If you've been coming here week in and week out, if you have read the Bible on your own outside of a church setting, then you know more than, let's say, an overwhelming majority of the world. Maybe even an overwhelming majority of the Christian world. So you have something to share. You have incredible things that you can do. But I shared about this last time I came up and spoke, right? It's that, passion of, are we expecting greatness out of ourselves and out of God? Do we still believe that God will bless the sacrifices that we make? Do we hold to that? And I know that there are many examples, and I'm blown away. Recently, I had a conversation with somebody who was telling me, and this, I thought this was insane, and I don't know how this worked out, but he was telling me how one year, for special missions contribution, his wife put their wedding ring, their engagement ring, as contribution. Now, I'm not saying that you should do that, by the way. I'm definitely not saying that you should do that. But it got me to think about this question. What would compel someone to the point that they would be willing to do that? What does that say about their passion and about their faith, the zeal that they had, and what they believed in, that they were willing to do so? And again, I'm saying, I'm not advocating doing that. Brothers, don't tell your wives to do that. That's going to be a whole argument and fight that is not going to probably turn out well at all. Right? But that heart, that passion, that zeal of being willing to do anything, to go anywhere, to sacrifice whatever it took for God, because we knew God would bless it, is that something that characterizes your walk with God? Now, I think there are incredible examples of that in here. And hopefully I didn't paint too morbid or too negative a picture last time I came up and spoke, because, you know, I think there are a lot of areas that should shock us, that should concern us. But we also have a lot of incredible examples, right? I think about, you know, Beam and Nicole. Beam just came up and did communion, right? Now, some of the things I shared about with our some of the challenges in the singles ministry, that's why I really appreciate them so much, is they have seen, okay, this is the need, and they are stepping up to say, I want to meet that need. I see that things are not good, so I want to be a part of turning that around. Right? You think about this as well. I also think about Kevin Davis. And with our service team, and really trying to get us all as a church engaged in serving one another, right? And in making our services incredible. And it's awesome to think about that. I think about how, all right, I guess I'll ask you this way. Parents, when there is a mess in your house, how many of you have had this conversation with your children? Okay. You come home from work and you see that all of the dishes are still in the sink, and your child is sitting there on the couch watching TV, hanging out, and you go over to them, right? You go over to them and you say, hey, how was your day? Hopefully. No, that's not the first thing you ask. Okay, maybe it goes a little bit like this. What have you been doing all day? Did you not see that there are dishes in the sink that needed to be done? And then if your child is anything like me or like many of the other yous, they will reply with, "Well, nobody asked me." Surely not, right? Have you guys had that interaction before? Maybe it was with a roommate and it wasn't with a child. Why do you have that expectation, though, of your children? Is it because you expect them to be mature enough to see a mess without having been asked to go and clean it up? That is a sign of maturity. So should that same logic not also carry over when you see a mess in the church? Now, I say that because even though we have incredible examples here, they can't do this alone. Right? This is an all hands on deck, everybody all in situation. We all have an integral part to play in the body of Christ. And so I ask myself, well, how does it happen? How does somebody stop maturing? Where do things go wrong? And I think Satan, in a lot of ways, he warps our thinking. Right? Because young believers, immature believers, they usually take one of two paths. They are either A, extremely legalistic, which we will talk about more in a second, or they are in the, you know, everyone did as they saw fit, just running off. They are the lone wolf disciple Christian. You know, they feel like, oh, I've got my Bible. I have the Holy Spirit. I can do everything by myself. And neither is mature. Neither is good. You know, Satan takes people who have this sincere love for God, and he twists it. Now, when it comes to legalism, is it good to have a high standard? Yes, it is good for us to set a high standard for ourselves. And legalism is something, and if you don't understand, legalism means like, You set and you have to do things a certain way, otherwise it is wrong. Like, you read your Bible every day at 8 a.m., and if you do not read your Bible every day at 8 a.m., then you have sinned against God, and everything is terrible, your life is horrible, oh no. Like, it's this unrelenting standard of perfection. Right? And there are many of us who have been there, and that has defined our walk with God. Yes? Yes. I think so. And it's good for a little while, right? Just a little while, because, right, you expect, when you think about children, right, do you expect a child, a young child, to know what is good for them? No, you can't explain to them the ins and outs and the depths of everything that go on. They just can't understand that. So when you're just starting off, it is good to have a little more structure to your walk with God. And there are periods of time in our walk with God where, even if you've been a Christian for a while, you need a little more structure to help pull you, to help get you back on track. But I think the challenge is, if we do not mature out of that, then a whole lot of problems happen. Not just in your personal walk with God, but also in the church. And I've seen a lot of people, they hold to this legalistic standard, and sometimes they even expect it of others, to where it causes a lot of bitterness and resentment towards God and towards other people in the church. Right? As I'm sure that's happened to you at some point. And if it has not, it will. And that's okay, because God is a gracious God and we are gracious with one another, right? We have the ability to talk through our problems and our issues. But the biggest challenge with something like legalism is it distorts our perception of faith and actions and how the two go together. Because what it does is it turns your relationship with God into something that is based on either putting God into your debt or trying to get out of trouble with him. That's what legalism does. And it caps us. right? If you think about legalism, like, so you're doing things because you feel like other people will respect you for having a high standard. And sometimes that high standard pushes, and it pushes the boundaries farther and farther and farther because you want to be the most extreme disciple. Or the standard gets so crazy, so structured, to where you just say, oh, I give up. I'll never be able to hit that. Which was not what God intended. Now, did he? Again, high standards, good. Legalism, bad. Because what ends up happening is, you know, you end up that happening, but you also end up saying, well, because I am so righteous, God will bless me. Because I go to church every week, because I read my Bible every day, because X, Y, Z, because I shared my faith today, God has to bless me. That is an immature mindset. As well as, on the flip side, you end up saying, well, if I've done poorly today in the area of blank, therefore I deserve the wrath of God, the punishment. And so then you work extra hard, but you're only working extra hard to really quell your conscience, and not because you love Jesus, and not because you want to be close to him. Now, we may not say that, but that's what our actions can say, right? That's where our actions can go. And so that's really the question we have to think about. How can we have a culture of high expectations with grace? How can we do that? Because I think we all know that we need a high standard, because a biblical standard, not higher than what the Bible says, something that is grounded in the heart, in our conviction, in our love, and not based on a legalistic faith. Well, I do this because I should do this. That's not what God intended. And I will say this, in the Hebrews, he goes on and he talks about this a little bit. He's like, if you do not mature, he talks about how those, you will leave. You will eventually, you will get burnt out, you will walk away from your relationship with God. That's the warning that Hebrews gives us. I think the challenge is, sometimes in the past, maybe you've had a high expectation, but it was based on legalism. And so there can be a hesitancy to even want to set a high standard because you think about what happened last time. You think about how things went wrong. Well, instead of saying something, you know, as I think this is a more mature mindset, well, that did not go as I planned. How can I do it differently next time? How can I do it better next time? Because that is what God is calling us to do. The worst thing that we can do, though, is say, well, that didn't work, and then just shun something completely, and then legalistically go to the other side, completely the other way. That God is calling us to mature. Now, I feel like there's more that I could say, but I think this is a lot to think about, right? This is a lot to think about. Let's scrap the second part here of and the Corinthians passage. Let's just keep reading on in Hebrews, because it's good stuff, right? This is good stuff. He says in verse 4, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it and produces a crop useful for those whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. And this next verse is what I hope that we focus on. Are you ready for this? Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case. The things that have to do with salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And I think that's really at the heart of what we have been talking about. You guys have done incredible hard work. You think about, even if you know the history of our church, how we had, 18 disciples that came here and started a church in New York City that went on, and then we've grown to what we are right now. There's been a lot of hard work, a foundation that's been laid to our faith, to who we are. And God has blessed that. But the work isn't done. We must continue to mature. We must continue to grow. Do you believe that the hard work that you've done is in vain? I don't think so. And I know that each of us in here, we are in different places. There are some of us that are full of zeal. There are some of us that were full of zeal yesterday, and this morning we woke up tired and weary and beat down. But yet God is calling us. And I am convinced that we as a church can do great things. And I hope you are too. So I want to ask you this question as we close out. What is holding you back from maturing into the man or woman that Christ is calling you to be? Let's reflect on that, maybe even in the fellowship. Talk to your brother and sister about what is one step, one thing that you can do to help you to continue to mature in your walk with God so that we as a church may glorify Him each and every day. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyc.coc.net.